Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 to 17. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect harmony, unity, beg your pardon. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you reach and admonish one another with all wisdom through through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Forgot to do that. There we go. In this little snippet of Paul's letter, and the background to the letter is the fact that there have been some divisions in the church, and they've been caused by people who have said, oh well, as well as what you're doing following Jesus, you also need to do some other things. And they're harping back to the old covenant that they were living under. And Paul is writing to a community and he wants them to be united, and he's explained to them why they are to be united, why it's important. And he's basically saying to them, look, you are a new community. Don't lie to each other. He's saying that in this community, your relationships, whatever else they are, have got to be authentic. I don't know about you, but I've got friends who don't know God loves them. They don't know that Jesus came to this earth, lived for real as you or I, and died on a cross. And that by doing that, he made himself a sacrifice, so that all sin could be forgiven in ordinary people like you and me. And sin is basically anything we do, say, think that is contrary to God's plan for the universe as a whole. And because we are selfish and human and we fail and we constantly keep sinning. We just do it really easily. And I've got loads of friends who don't know that Jesus has already paid for them. They think that if they become followers of Jesus, that they've somehow got to earn God's forgiveness and God's love and God's grace, and which is rubbish. Because if that's the way you're going to live, you are never going to be good enough for God, ever. It's never going to happen. The first time you miss the nail and hit your thumb with the hammer, the thoughts that come out of you are not going to be filled with love and grace, are they? People don't say, oh, jolly good, I've just hit my thumb with a hammer, do they? They usually say words that don't have a great deal of letters in them. Because that's part of being human. Now, if you've got friends like my friends, then this new community that Paul is talking about, it might not be a safe place for you and me, but it's a really safe place for people who are broken and damaged. It's a place where forgiveness happens without being earned. And not just between God and us, but between us. I'm gonna let you down. I'm going to forget your birthday. That's going to happen. You're going to tell me something and I'm going to forget it. You're going to want me to notice something and I won't notice it. Particularly if it's related to colour. And when we were living in Horsham, we had great big colourful covers on the microphones. I thought that was a really good idea because it made it easy for the person on the sound desk to know which one was which. But there was a lady in the church who found the colours really distracting and offensive. We are all different. And Paul writes to the Colossians, a group of people whose differences are getting in the way of the message that we proclaim, which is that God loves all people, welcomes all people, gave his son for all people. And the way that they were living was making that a lie. And it would be easy if there were no awkward people in the church. But I'm here. And I'm as awkward as they come. And I'm learning that so are you. Because that's who we are, isn't it? And it's okay. But what we mustn't do is let the things that are different amongst us become things that divide us. We mustn't let it do that. And Paul says, here, this is really difficult, isn't it? No, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. We can go with that. Circumcised or uncircumcised. Beginning to feel a bit uncomfortable about this. Not sure how we're going to decide who is and isn't. Not looking forward to that church meeting. Barbarian, Scythian. Well, that's okay. That takes it away from us, doesn't it? That's the way. But if we change those words and we said Londoner or Northerner, Geordie, Scouser, Cobbler, which I always thought was a pudding, and I now find it's a member of a football team. But there you go. Slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. And as Sarah was saying, this new community is founded on the most levelling thing of all. That you and me are sinners. We are a waste of a skin, is the way the Navy mates would say it. A waste of a skin. But we're all made worthy in Christ. He takes my waste and he makes it into his righteousness, his goodness, his kindness. Did you notice those five things that are descriptions of the people who live in this community? They're described as clothes, aren't they? Put on the clothes. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Where do those words come from? You're allowed to shout out at this point, please. Where do they come from? What are they? They are fruit of the Spirit, but that's not where they come from, is it? Where do they come from? What are they? These are characteristics of someone, aren't they? But who? Yeah. Because we're told we're being remade in His image. And these are the things that are His. So we're to put on the things that Jesus is, isn't it? Now, Paul, this is a big thing in Paul, isn't it? He writes about this a lot. He wants us to be to become imitators. Like children copying their dad, is the way he puts it. Become imitators of your father. Have you ever watched children imitating their parents? They do crazy things. You see them trying to pull things that are far too heavy for them. Because they've seen dad do it. Has anybody ever seen a little boy tip a wheelbarrow over? I've seen that 4 times in my family. At least 4 times. Why do they do it? Because they see me wield the wheelbarrow. And then they get between the things and they lift it. And if the load's not perfectly balanced, it's only got one wheel at the front, over it goes. But why were they doing it? Because they want to be like their dad. I find that amazing because I know what I'm like. And I think, why would you want to be like me? But you see, that's what the Father wants of us, isn't he? He wants us to be like Jesus. He wants us to want to be like Jesus. What is lovely in this passage are there are some things we are told to do. If we're going to be this frontline community, then this here, this is not the front line. This is the gym. We come in here to lift weights. This is where we practice the stuff that makes a difference where we work, go to school, with the people that we live amongst, isn't it? So he says, bear with one another. Bear with each other and forgive one another. Well, do you find that really easy? Isn't that really easy? Just let it go. It's not, is it? It's not. Bear with one another. But this is the gym. You see, if we can do it in here, with just a few of us, then we can begin to do it out there. And that makes a difference. What would you be prepared to give up that makes you feel really comfortable and safe in here in order to get fitter for out there? We did this frontline stuff in another church yonks ago. And when I first went to the church, I'd only been there a fortnight, and they said, now that you're here, we run a service in this nursing home. And we've got a little team, but actually the person who's leading it wants to resign, so you could take it over. So I did. I took it over. I did it for 17 years. For the first 2 years, I would say, I did it grudgingly, once a month. It was an extra thing. And then I began to realise that this little group of people, that was their church. There was nothing else. They didn't go anywhere else. And I began to think about it a bit more seriously. And then, do you know, they surprised the life out of me. There was an average 6 of them, and they were living in a nursing home because they weren't young. And when we did the front line thing, and we did it with them, because I couldn't think of anything better to do, if I'm really honest. I thought, well, we're doing it in church. It saves me doing more preparation. I can just use this there as well. It'll take us a bit longer because we only do it once a month. And at the end of it, do you know what the six of them said to me? They said, we've been really affected by this. And we've decided that Thursday evenings at 7:30 really suits us. But nobody else comes. But we have a games evening, a games morning, on a Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock. And if we moved our service to 11 o'clock, we reckon we'd get 30 people would come to the service. I was amazed. Because 7:30s, what we did together was really good for them. They loved it. But they did move the service. And they got probably 18 people stayed at the end of the games and stayed for the service. They'd cottoned on to where their front line was, and they'd cottoned on to what it meant to be this new community. All of the years of meeting on Thursday night were not wasted. They were in the gym on Thursday nights. They were learning how to put up with each other, so that when they got with the rest of them that they didn't always get along with, they were ready. They could bear with them. They could forgive them. They could love them. And they could be at peace with them. Sometimes, in my head, I think that church is here and like this, and then I go over here and I have to stand by to repel borders and protect myself from the influences and everything that's around me. But what I really believe when I stop and think is that the Holy Spirit lives in me here as well as there. And if the Holy Spirit lives in me when I'm on the submarine, or when I'm at work, or when I'm at school, or when I'm at college, or when I'm looking after whoever I look after, or when I'm being looked after by whoever looks after me, it ought to make a difference. And I think that that's what Paul is writing. He's saying, Brian, because I live in Colossae, obviously, and he's saying, Brian, you, the truth about you is what I've been writing. Now, Brian, what I want you to do is to live that truth about you out. At the moment, it's a spiritual truth, Brian. And I want you to make it a physical truth. So I want you to bear with other people the way the Father bears with you. So you remember on Thursday when you had a really good quiet time, and then on Friday when you didn't bother. And then on Saturday the Father didn't say, I've finished with you, Brian. That's how I want you to be with the people that cross your path, even if they're dog walkers. I find that a challenge, because I'm not really very nice. I'm not very generous. I'm not very kind. I don't think about everybody else ahead of me all of the time. And are you like that? Do you find this stuff difficult too? I want to be different. And I think that that's what Paul is writing to them. He knows that they want to be different. He's not telling them off, is he? That's not what he's doing. He's trying to encourage them. He's trying to say, this is who you really are. Now, if you can live out who you really are, you will become who you really are. Does that make sense? The spiritual truth about you, Brian, if you can live that out, you will become a physical embodiment of that. And that's what he wants for me. And you see, if I let him do that in me, when I go into the places that I go, and when you go into the places that you go, it won't be a them and us situation. Because, did you notice he said, everyone's included in Christ. Now, I want to narrow that down, because I want to say, well, that's everyone in the room, isn't it? It's obvious it's not the people who aren't in the room, is it? Oh, yes, it is. Because Christ has died for their sins. And our job is not to be bouncers in the kingdom, saying, oh, you can't come in because you've got trainers on. Our job is to be the people who open the door. Get me in. The Holy Spirit will sort out the trainers. You know, if you've not got the right trainers, he'll sort that out for us. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. Let the word of God dwell among you richly. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Be thankful. Bear with one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And you see, that's the crux of what Paul's saying, isn't it? He wants us to learn to live this united life, which is what community means, isn't it? A common unity. Even though we're not all the same. And that isn't easy, is it? I ask that question again. What would you give up? What would you be prepared to give up? And those ladies gave up their comfortable worship time and Bible study and service for something that became, if I'm really honest, a bit louder, and certainly there was less meat to it. We couldn't have the same discussions that we'd had. But I don't think they were the poorer for it. Because I think that the Holy Spirit taught them things in the giving up of what they'd had that they could not have learnt in any other way. And it's one of those things, when you leave one church, you go to another. I desperately want to know what's going on with them. And you're removed, and you can't. As you go about this week, it'd be really good if you could think about the places where you have to bear with someone or something. Don't beat yourself up. Don't tear yourself off if you've not been really good at it in the past. It doesn't matter, does it? We're in the process of being transformed. But if you can notice those places, then that gives you something for you to come to the Lord and say, this is the bit where I want to develop at the moment, Father. Would you help me? Would you pour your Spirit out upon me? And every time I'm in that situation, would you just remind me that I'm not there alone? Because I think when we do that, that's when we start doing that last verse. That's when we start giving thanks to God through Christ in the moment as we do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know each one of us. You know the situations we face. And this isn't Colossae in AD 70. It's different. But there are things that are still the same, Father. we still have divisions amongst us. Your son describes a multicultural church that mustn't allow the multicultural aspect to divide it. And Father, we live in a world where that message is still overdue. Father, we still need to bear with each other, to love each other, to not lie. We still need to do these things that make us united. And we pray that you'd help us. And as we do it here in this place, as we grow our relationships authentically and honestly, we pray too, Father, that what we learn in this place, you'd help us to take into all of the places we go. Father, in this coming week, would you help us to notice the places that where we are. Notice the pressures that we're under. And to allow you to live in and through us. Amen.